This Sunday is the third Sunday in Lent. Pastor Magruder is basing his sermon on the gospel reading coming from St. John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. The other scripture reading for this Sunday includes Psalm 95, verses 1 through 9, the Old Testament reading from Exodus, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, and the epistle lesson will be from Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. So here is Pastor David Magruder, the pastor of Peace with Christ Lutheran Church, with a sermon for this Sunday entitled, Living Water.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Gospel according to St. John, the fourth chapter, beginning with the fifth verse. So he, Jesus, came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well, and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty, or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus asks her for a drink. He sets the whole scene up himself. He sent the disciples away to ensure that they would be alone. She's surprised, startled, for two reasons. Jews don't talk to Samaritans, and men don't talk to women in public. But Jesus starts the conversational ball rolling, much in the same way as he did with Nicodemus. If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now that's as muddy as Jesus saying to Nicodemus, "Unless you are born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God." I mean, what's living water? And how is Jesus going to give it? Living water is different from well water. Well water, you work for. Living water, you don't work for, you receive it. The same as salvation in Jesus. You don't go and get it, it comes to you, washing you, refreshing you, cleansing you in a flood of salvation. Living water requires faith, trust that Jesus will supply when all your efforts have gone bone dry. "Are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well?" she wonders. "Indeed he is." Jesus is greater than Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. And as John told us in the beginning of his gospel, he's greater than Moses. Jesus exceeds Moses in the Old Covenant at every turn, from changing Old Testament washing water to New Testament wedding wine in John chapter 2, to dying and rising to save the world in chapter 19. Now the woman is intrigued. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, but you Judeans say Jerusalem is the only proper place." That's the open door right there. And listen to what Jesus says. "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming, but isn't here yet, when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." The temple was destroyed 40 years after Jesus said this. "You worship what you do not know," Jesus said. "We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. The Samaritans worshiped the God they didn't know, but the hour is coming, and is now here, right here in my speaking to you, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And just as this story is not about marriage, it's also not about worship. It's about faith. To worship in spirit and truth is to worship in faith, which is what all who are born from above by water and spirit are given to do. The true spirit of worship is faith in the promises of God in Christ. That's the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the faith which God reckons as righteousness. It is faith in Jesus, the promised one, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, whose words are spirit and life, who is himself the way, the truth, and the life. Well, now the woman is captive. He's got her. And she goes back to the simplest, most childlike thing she believes. I know that Messiah, the Christ, is coming. When he comes, he'll tell us everything. Now that's faith talk, at least as much faith as she could possibly have. And Jesus speaks to that faith. I who speak to you am he. Or, if I can tinker with the word order so you hear it as Jesus said it, I am the one who is speaking to you. I am Yahweh, the one who spoke out of the burning bush to Moses, the one who wrestled with Jacob. Yahweh, the one you worship but do not know. Centuries before, the people of Samaria had turned away from the true God and faith in him. Now, God in the flesh comes to Samaria to claim it for his own, one Samaritan at a time. The one greater than Jacob has come to his well to fulfill it. Washing water becomes wedding wine. Well water becomes living water flowing in a stream of life that goes on forever. That living water flowed down from the wounded side of Jesus on the cross to you in your baptism, and it flows to you daily in his word. This isn't water you work for. This is grace water, free gift water, water that rebirths, cleanses, restores, renews, refreshes the world in its Samaritan ignorance. They worship what they do not know. But you know. You know by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God that has enlightened you. You know. God has made you worshipers, disciples, those who worship in the true spirit of faith in Jesus. Living water has come to you so that you need never thirst again. The one who has spoken to you is the one who is God in the flesh, the light and life of all, the eternal Word through whom all things, including you, were made. You know him, and you are known by him. And the only thing you can do is tell everyone else where this living water is found. And that's exactly what the Samaritan woman did. She went to her town and told everyone. The woman who had avoided the condemning stares of her little town now can't shut up about Jesus. So the whole town came out to meet Jesus, and they welcomed him, and he stayed with them for 2 more days. Jesus, this friend of Samaritans and tax collectors and misfits of all sorts, is the Savior of the whole world. Not just the respectable and reputable and religious, but the world. A world of sin-sick Samaritan women, of confused Pharisees, of society's rejects and royalty, winners and losers, children of Abraham, along with whatever else was in the multicultural morass called Samaria, or this world in which you and I live. The whole world is died for by this Jesus. He is our Savior, who meets us in our sin and death, and pulls us out of it and gives us to drink of the water of baptism that brings us to a life that even death can't end. Lord, we pray, keep us in this faith and life and living water until we die. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us all confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who, with the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us all pray the prayer that the Lord taught us, the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.
This concludes our website broadcast, so until next week, go and serve the Lord.